to another episode of Bloom Theory Podcast with me, your host, Jillian Choquette. I am so excited to be jumping back on the mic today. I feel like life has been a little bit chaotic recently. My schedule has just been really packed to the brim. Like, I kid you not, I have been planning time with friends a month and a half ahead of time, and I just planned to do something in June. So I don't know if anyone else is feeling this. Maybe it's the whole pre-summer kind of stress and planning, which is really exciting if I think about it, because it means that summer's coming and I cannot believe that we have two more weeks of the semester. I don't know about you and for those in undergrad or other graduate schools, but I am pretty much done the first and second week of May, which is absolutely insane. That means that I will be done my first week. Wow. That shows you where my brain is at right now. I will be done my first year of PhD classes, which means I only have one more year of didactic learning for practically the rest of my life. Granted, if I end up doing a postdoc, I might be taking more classes, but it won't be the same. And that means I only have one more year of didactic learning and then only research and working for the rest of my life, which is just crazy to think about. But I don't have too much to update on life right now. I feel like I've just been doing school and research, and I've just been doing, I don't know, a lot of running around and trying to plan for traveling and content creation. Really excited about some upcoming trips that I'll be going on, and I'm going to be visiting my friends Amanda and Ashley in South Carolina, and I am so excited not only to see them, of course, I am extremely excited to see them, but I am also excited to see the light of day for once, because I am constantly cooped up inside either doing schoolwork or doing research, and I can't wait to hang out with them on the beach and just have a good time. My friend Andrea and I are flying and going together, so that'll be really nice too, because we can be little travel buddies. But that's not until May. I am trying not to get too excited because I still need to get through finals first. Anyway, that is enough about my little life update. I am thrilled to have Erha Andini today as our guest on the podcast. And she is a PhD candidate in biochemical engineering. And I am so excited to talk to her today because we have been little TikTok friends, little STEM girly friends for a little bit now. And I really wanted to have her on the podcast because she loves to emphasize having a well-balanced life while doing the PhD. And we talk about everything, literally from burnout in the PhD to traveling and to hate comments that she gets on TikTok for traveling. So stay tuned and keep listening for that. But before I go on, be sure to like and review this podcast if you guys like it. And let's get on to the interview with Erha. Hi, Erha. Thanks for joining the podcast today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Can we just start with telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got into STEM and just your entire life story? No, I'm just kidding. but just a little bit about yourself.
A little bit about myself. Born and raised in Indonesia. Moved here to the U.S. when I was about 16 to do my undergrad. I went to Penn State. And then now doing a PhD in chemical engineering at the University of Delaware. I'm on my third year. How I got into STEM, I got lucky. Actually, my mom, she is a professor back home in Indonesia, so I was exposed to STEM at a very young age.
So you said you started college at 16?
I did. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So basically, you're a prodigy.
Oh, no, stop.
I did community college classes at 16, but I can't imagine starting a university. Like Penn State is huge. I can't imagine starting that as a little baby 16-year-old.
Oh, that was, yeah, it was honestly quite stressful because I was so young. And okay, let me just explain why I started college when I was only 16. So in Indonesia, the way they split the education is 6 years of elementary school, 3 years of middle school, and then 3 years of high school. So it's in total, it's 12, but then it's just split differently. And I got into this high school where they offered an accelerated program where instead of 3 years, you finish high school in 2 years. And so I did that. Did I want to do that? No. But it was just, it was kind of weird how the school made all the students to take an IQ test, and then anyone that scored above 130 can participate in it.
Oh, wow.
And then I made the cut. But honestly, I feel like IQ doesn't tell anything about someone's intelligence.
Maybe IQ doesn't mean anything, but do you mind me asking your IQ?
What? But I don't remember. I feel like
it's... Oh, yeah, I guess it was when you were 16. So that's a long time
ago. Yeah, so maybe it's lower now. All the experiments burning my brain cells. I don't know. I think, like, back then, 136 or something. Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So how old are you now, then?
I'm 24. How old are you?
I'm 25. I just turned 25, actually.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Happy birthday. Oh, yeah, I remember. I think I said happy birthday to you. Yeah.
So we're almost the same age.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, going back to, I don't know, where was I telling that? Okay. I was part of this accelerated program, and that's why I finished high school earlier, and that's how I started college earlier when I was only 16.
So I'm talking to a prodigy.
No,
I'm sweating.
You should be nervous.
Okay, so I really wanted to talk to you about TikTok because I love your TikToks.
Thank you.
And I feel like a common myth about being a PhD student is that you can't, like, your life is the PhD. You're doing experiments 6 days a week, maybe more. You're in the lab like 70 hours a week. And I love how you show the other side and you say you love to travel and you post all these amazing travel videos and vlogs and kind of things like that in your TikToks. So what is your take on that, just on people who kind of emphasize that, you know, the academic mindset of you should be in the lab more? Kind of what is your take on that?
I mean, everyone has different goals about their life. Some people, I feel like people that are very into academia, they have the goal of going into academia after they finish grad school. But I don't know, maybe it's people our generation now that we realize that, oh, we're working because we're doing PhD because we are genuinely interested in the science, not because we have to do it to survive, if that makes sense.
Right.
Nothing wrong with being so focused with being in academia, but just for me personally, I realized that I'm most creative when I'm happy. When I'm unhappy, I can be generating good work. And that showed probably about a year ago. I actually broke down after finishing my first project. I think I made a post about it. That's another reason why I started making social media content, because it makes me happy and it's just really silly. It's I like to document. So being happy is very important to me.
Yeah, I definitely think that, I mean, I guess if someone can tolerate the extremely intense research schedule that is, you know, 6 or 7 days a week, I personally, I agree with you where I want to be creative and I want other outlets to feel happy. And yeah, I just think that mental health is really, really important, especially in grad school, because even in, honestly, undergrad or any school, people struggle with mental health, much less when you feel like it's all on you. And so what did you do to kind of get out of that rut? Was it the social media that really helped you? I know that you also are a gym girly. So what did you kind of do to get yourself out of that kind of low point in your PhD and you didn't go, oh my goodness, I think I'm done or I think I want to quit?
That is an awesome question. And the answer is not straightforward and the recipe will be different for everyone, but I can share what I did. And what I did was when I started to feel like my confidence is falling apart, the imposter syndrome is taking over my brain or my mind, I actually opened up to my advisor. And this was before I even started therapy. I opened up to him saying that, hey, I want to be honest with you that I feel like no matter what I do, I always have him in the back of my mind yelling at me, even though that's not the case. It's just something that I imagine for myself because
right.
I think for so many years, the way I function is I bully myself to death to do something. And I learned that there's a limit on how much you can do that. That worked throughout my undergrad, but I guess my true self, my Erha today, refused to listen to that really mean Erha yelling. So I ended up opening up to my advisor first, saying that I feel so stressed because of all these reasons. So I wrote him a very long email, and then he was very receptive of it. And I would say that I'm lucky in that sense. I don't know if the same thing will happen to other students, but it's my personality where I get along quite well, quite easily to people. So I don't know, I built a relationship with my advisor because I know there are some PhD students that treat advisors as their boss fully and don't try to build relationship. I think that's very important because you don't know when you're going to need your advisor in ways more than just a boss. And so, yeah, I opened up to my advisor and then I started seeing a therapist. I think my 1 year anniversary was early April. So, ooh,
yay.
Yes.
Yay for growth.
Yay for growth. I'm taking an antidepressant right now. Hobbies, making sure that I set boundaries between work, my personal life. I do have to work out in the morning every day and emphasis on have to, because if I don't, I would go nuts. I would just feel like,
yes,
beep. I don't know if I can like curse in here. So I
love how you're bleeping yourself. So I don't have to edit.
Exactly. I make it easy for you.
So I completely agree. When I don't work out, it's like I'm just in this dark space. I don't know. It's like I have to work out consistently or else I'm like, what is wrong with me? Why do I feel this way? And then I go to the gym and I'm like, oh, this is why I didn't go to the gym for a whole week. And my body was in withdrawals of happy hormones and endorphins. So how do you normally plan your life? Because you go to the gym consistently. You have plenty of experiments to do, which I don't know how your experiments are. It sounds like bioengineering is a little bit more biochemical and chemistry and in the fumhood. So I don't know what your schedule is normally like. Like, do you write this down in a physical planner or do you do digital planning? What do you normally do? Sticky notes.
No, I'm just trying to think, what do I do? I do it differently every day. I probably should be more organized, but honestly, I don't. I stopped being super organized because, let's just start with what I do know. What I do is I use Notion and I write down all the bullet points of things that I want to achieve in the day. So really small things. Like even if I say that I need to clean glassware, then I will write that down. Because what I realize is the way I function in the past, I'll just write down this really big task of I don't know, win a Nobel Prize or something. but I realized that at least in PhD program, it's not guaranteed we are going to do big things every day. So what I realized is to make myself feel good about the day, I need to break down my tasks into small, small bullet points. So I use Notion, sometimes Post-it notes too, but I don't go nuts with making sure that every day is filled out, because I mean, sometimes our experiments don't work. So we have to be flexible. Like, all right, well, let me just sit down and read papers again, see what went wrong. So yeah. I'm very flexible. My schedule is very flexible. Yeah.
I'm the same way. I love how on Notion they have the bullet, or not the bullet points, the checklist. And you just
click
the little
so satisfying.
Very satisfying. Do you try to plan for the times that you travel, or are you a spontaneous travel person? Because I know sometimes PhD students, it's very easy for them to make their own schedule with their PI, because their PI is like, okay, well, it's fully your project at this point and you're planning it. But other times it's a little bit more strict. So how do you plan that with your PI? Do you normally talk to them or plan it yourself?
For traveling, I do talk with my PI, but honestly, I don't travel as much. It may seem like it, but I don't travel that much.
It seems like you do, because you have you go to cool places though. I feel like when you do travel, they are really cool places.
So. Yeah. When I do travel to really cool places, it's usually during conference time. Like, for example, last year I went to Arizona, and that was specifically for all the chemical engineers. And so after the conference, me and a few friends decided to stay a day or two longer so we can check out.
That's a good idea.
I think we stayed 3 days longer to check out. Where did I go? I didn't go to Grand Canyon because I wanted to go down into the grooves, which I think I have pictures on my Instagram. It was, I can't remember.
Oh,
what it's
yeah,
called.
I saw.
Oh, the Antelope Canyon. And I'm actually going to two conferences this year, maybe one. One is in Maine. So after that conference, I'm going to take 4 days off because I'm already there, you know?
Yeah,
I'm
going to
Park, and then the other one is in Rhode Island. I have no idea what's in Rhode Island, but we're taking a few days off after that.
I've been to Rhode Island.
And yeah, what's in Rhode Island?
I honestly don't remember, but I think I was at a casino when I went, but I was underage. But I know Maine is pretty, so
yeah. And then I potentially will be going to one in Florida, so that's fun. Yeah,
is that all this year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I feel like my advisor wants all the third years in the group to get all the presentations out our third year, just so we have opportunities to network, opportunities to present. That's one thing that is very important as STEM people. We're known to be introverted, so we're being pushed to
be social.
Be social. I passed quals and accepted to take 2 weeks off after quals to just be done with.
Yeah.
Well, to kind of just ignore responsibilities and just do whatever. Your question makes me giggle not because of the question in itself, but because one time I made a TikTok of saying sacrificing your 20s for PhD, and then I said psych, and then I showed like glimpse of my travel, and then people got so upset. They're like, wow, you're the most not productive PhD students ever. I'm like,
Oh, I
know, people are mean in the internet. So many trolls.
Gosh. Okay, can we talk about hate comments? Like, because I post, I don't have as many followers as you do, so it's completely different because I just started. But do you get a lot of hate comments? Because I had one that someone took from my TikTok and then they posted it onto their Instagram and they took off the watermark and they didn't credit me at first. And I woke up and my friends were all sending it to me and they're like, oh my goodness, this has 850,000 views. And is this you? And I said, yeah, that's my TikTok, but it only had a few thousand views on TikTok, but someone took it. and then put it on Instagram. And I got so many hate comments on it. And then on TikTok, everyone's like, yes, go girl, slay. And then on Instagram, they were hating on me. It was just so funny. Do you get a lot of hate comments?
I get a good mixture of love and hate. Yeah, because it makes sense. You can't make everyone happy no matter what you do, no matter what you post, however good you think it is. Someone will find it offensive for some reason. Like, I'm just existing. And then they're like, oh, she's breathing. Yeah, that one specific TikTok. It's like, I just find it so funny. People think that, oh, she travels all the time. When it's like, no, I just keep reusing the same clips.
You should have just been like, yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like because of conferences, though, you still get to travel more than, like, you traveled more than I traveled last year, personally. Mm. And I was working part of the time. So I feel like going to conferences is still considered traveling a lot. Like, you listed 4 different conferences you planned for this year. So, I mean, it's still still a decent amount. I don't know what you're comparing to, but.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I am. I guess I'm blessed in that field. And I don't know. I'm a manifestation girly. So I feel like I'm kind of, I don't know. I want to see more places. So I kind of put it in my intention that, oh yeah, I want to check out more places, and I don't know, things kind of just get into places.
That's a really good idea, to just stay later at conferences, or stay a little bit longer at conferences, especially if you have a couple of friends that you're already sharing a room with or something like that, and then you can just split hotel or go travel. I feel like that's a really good idea I never thought of.
Yeah, I mean, you're already there, and RPI is paying for it. And then if the price doesn't differ much in terms of flying back, the cost of flight, if it doesn't vary much, then why not? And missing a day or two or three will not hurt the 5 years that we're going to be doing our PhD.
Are you thinking of doing industry, or are you? Because I know a lot of bioengineering goes into industry. Is that what you're thinking, or are you thinking academia?
Definitely not academia. Not doing postdoc, not doing that assistantship, whatever. I just can't. I thought I was going to be
assistantship.
Well, when you get hired at a university, at least from my understanding, you become an assistant professor.
Oh
yeah, that's what I'm in. And then that's like so many years, and then you're just working like crazy because you're trying to get tenured.
I'm not about
that life.
She really said never.
No, nope, never. Don't even think about it. Get it out of this room.
That's so funny.
Industry, I thought about it, but no. So what am I gonna be doing?
You're just gonna be making coin, girl.
Yeah, making coin, become full-time influencer, life coach, or whatever. Now I want to do management consulting. Actually, I realized that could be an interesting path for me, because I get inspired by someone that graduated from my group. When I first joined the group, he's now a management consultant for, I don't know if am I allowed to say like company name, like for some management consulting company?
I don't know. But... Nobody cares.
But me doing my PhD, one thing I realized about myself is I like the problem solving aspect more than doing the experiments itself. I rather have undergrads do my experiments, and then I just sit down and think of cool science that I could do. It's cool to make TikToks in the lab and whatnot, but it's kind of annoying doing experiments because you get to wash the glassware.
That's what you make the undergrads do.
Exactly. But yeah, so I enjoy the problem solving aspect more than doing the experiments in itself. And I don't see myself working in a lab. I've been told that I have a personality that don't quite fit in. When I'm being compared to other PhDs.
That's actually funny. That's really funny you say that, because I've had the same thing. Like, I
really?
Yeah, like I considered PA school and med school because I think that I'm a lot more outgoing, I guess. And
I love to see patients and love to interact with other people. But a lot of times that's the opposite of what most PhD students are like. So is that normally what they mean when they say that you're not normally the typical stereotypical student in the lab?
Yeah, that's what they mean, because I'm very loud. I'm very expressive too. Like, I feel like you can kind of tell from my TikToks. Like, my personality is kind of like on your face.
Contagious though. Contagious. I love it.
And I'm very confident. Yeah, very outspoken. Very outspoken. And I like to work with other people. I like to talk. I like to being with other people. Working with other people makes me happy.
I think that actually makes you a really strong PhD. Well, I don't want to say PhD student anymore. You're a PhD candidate. But I feel like that makes you a strong PhD student or candidate, because it involves a lot of communication. Like, research still involves communicating your research and collaborating with other people, and then eventually communicating it through your paper or through conferences, and eventually probably consulting. So I feel like that'll make you a really strong candidate for that job that you want, even though people might think, oh, you have to be that like quiet logical thinker that is antisocial, you know. That's what I tell myself anyway, because sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm just so different than a lot of personalities. But there are people out there, I think.
Yes.
That's why I feel like I saw your TikToks and I was like, we gotta connect.
Yeah.
So I have to talk to you about your fashion videos. I love you posting your style videos, even though I notice you wear a lab coat, because obviously you work with a lot of chemicals, but you have inspiration, because I feel like lab appropriate attire is always like head to toe covered and, you know, no belly showing or whatever. Do you just cover up any skin with a lab coat? Do you have tips on dressing lab appropriate but also really cute? Because I feel like your outfits are so adorable and they're always lab appropriate. So where do you shop? Thank you. What's your inspiration?
I think with me, I feel like I can wear a crop top because I wear lab coat anyways, but wearing crop tops is just weird to lab. I don't know why I feel weird wearing crop tops to lab, because it's like, it's weird. Too much skin for work. Yeah, I feel like it's not appropriate. But I generally just wear jeans, some blouse or cute sweater. Where do I shop? I do love to shop at Cotton On. I don't know if that's like a brand across the US, but I live by Christiana Mall here in Delaware, and they have Cotton On, and I love their stuff.
So they have like Cotton On there?
Yeah, they do.
Oh.
Yeah,
I love shopping there.
it's tax-free too in Delaware.
Yes.
I thrifted a bunch of tops, but usually what I look for is clothes that fit me well, because I don't own a lot of clothes, and I realize that certain types of fabric or the way the clothes is just shape fits me better. I've always been into dressing up, honestly, but it's only recently that I feel more confident in posting them. Because I remember when I was like maybe in fourth grade or fifth grade, I would make like fashion show videos of myself, like doing catwalk trying different clothes and all kind of stuff. But I was shy back then. And so now I guess I'm just living the dream of making the dream of my child self become true.
I love that. I feel like I was the same way, where I always wanted a certain style when I was younger, but I never quite achieved it. And I'm finally now at 25 years old, kind of finding out what fits me. And like, I have I have an extremely long torso, and it's really funny because old styles, I feel like in the 2000s and 2010s, just don't look good on, like, they really emphasize the long legs and the shorter torso. And I would try to wear the same style of things. And it's like, low-rise jeans is way too much skin for me. Okay. Like,
yeah,
absolutely not. Because a crop top with low-rise jeans for me is like way too much skin showing.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, okay, I can wear longer crop tops with high-waisted jeans and it's a better length. But
yeah,
I feel like you definitely show your style too. It's not just that you are fashionable. Like some people, they can see good fashion, but their personal style isn't necessarily there. I feel like you have a really good personal style.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I don't know what my style is, but thank you. I appreciate it.
just me fangirling. So okay, this is my last question for you, because I saw your TikTok on it and you talked about why you don't necessarily talk all about STEM or kind of things that you do in the lab on your TikTok or social media, even though you do talk about your journey through the PhD on Instagram and TikTok, but you don't necessarily talk about what you're doing. So do you mind kind of restating what you said? Because I think that it was really nice to hear. And also I think it would be great for the podcast listeners to hear, if you wouldn't mind kind of talking about that again.
Yeah, I don't mind at all. It's still fresh in my brain because I just made it this morning. I was in my car and I was trying to go to the gym, but then I didn't feel like it. So I thought, you know what, let's make TikTok. But it essentially me talking about, I've had a few people come to me and they follow me on my TikTok, or they've been sharing my TikTok. So they know I have a TikTok, and you know, my TikTok consists of just me posting my shenanigans or my outfit or just me being in the lab and doing silly things. So it's not serious. I'm not showing exactly what I do. And then so these people told me that, hey, Erha, why don't you make educational videos about chemical engineering inside of your silly videos? Because I guess that's what people do nowadays, make educational videos. And then I said, why would I do that? I say that because, one, I'm so much more than just being a PhD student. It's not my personality. My personality is whatever I put on TikTok. I'm funny. At least I like to think that I'm funny. Maybe not for everyone, but you know what? Maybe you know what? Whatever. I make myself laugh, so I'm funny.
You're just scrolling through your own TikTok laughing.
You're like, oh my gosh, she's hilarious. Who is that, me? There are already so many people making educational videos, being in the lab. But I noticed that what people don't do is talk about the other parts of being a PhD student. And I love seeing, like, you're showing that too in your TikToks, and a bunch of other PhD girlies out there. We're all starting to talk about mental health, talking about having mental breakdown in the lab, talking about, I don't know, like procrastinating. And it's just so good to see honesty inside of making PhD or STEM or engineering to be like this, I don't know, this thing that, oh my God, it's so hard to get in. It's so scary. It's so, people are so perfect. Everyone is competitive, which all those can be true, but that's not all the time. All of us have life too outside of research, and nothing against people that make science their personality, but that's just not me. And I want to show the world that, hey, there's this other part. There's a community too that like to dress up, like to work out, like to be silly and stupid. And so, yeah, that's why I don't make educational videos about chemical engineering.
No, that's awesome. When I heard it, I thought it was really refreshing, just because I do think it's really real of you to say that. And a lot of people are kind of doing that and being more real about the life of a STEM student. It's not all just hard work, focus on a project. I mean, even the people that are in the lab 6 days out of the week, you know, they do other things. And I really like that you're kind of emphasizing that it's a definitely, and like you said, it's a feasible thing. People make the PhD to sound so hard and that's all you do. But I mean, you can't elevate it to this level where it's just unachievable. And I think that's why I think you're a really good representation of a woman in STEM. I feel like because you are just showing, you're like, you can do it. You can, you know, have fun with your friends. You can do the PhD. You can do biochemical engineering, which sounds so crazy to a lot of people that might be wanting to go into biochemical engineering and might just be a freshman in college or something like that. But I think more likely than not, people also want to have the balance in life and kind of do similar to, you know, what we're doing. We're trying to find that balance between the PhD and still being in our 20s and having fun. So yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
I have one more thing to add to that.
Okay. And, I'm cutting you off way too soon.
No. I just thought of something. It really bothers me. Oh, going back to that video again that I made, that I get trolled so hard or bullied so hard because people think that, oh my gosh, she's a shitty PhD student for taking time offs. I know a lot of my friends that also do what I do, they would travel to see their girlfriend or boyfriend. They would take time off to, I don't know, go somewhere. They would take a very long weekend as long as they get their experiments done earlier. But the thing is, those people are not on TikTok and they're not posting them. So it's like people don't know that they're doing those things. And it's not commonly talked about. And it's, well, not frustrating. I can't think of the word. It's more so, here is me showing the truth that, hey, we actually have lives outside of research. But then when I do that, people get so bothered because, I don't know, they expect us to be productive all the time, like generating data or whatnot. And yeah, it's mind-boggling to me.
It really is. I think one of the biggest things that I've always complained about is that to kind of make yourself a character on social media and make people want to, maybe this is me exposing myself because I also had people say, your whole personality is a PhD student now on social media. And maybe I'm butthurt about that, but it's fine. But to make yourself look like this character, you have to sometimes niche down on something so that you can find that community. But then when you find that community of people that are like you, then they put you in this little box of being like, oh, you should be doing this. But instead, you're only this. You're only a PhD student that slacks in the lab or whatever, you know, they're saying about you. And they are like, oh, she's not doing what this other PhD student is doing, where they're only showing all the productive things that they're doing in the lab. And like, there's always these little boxes that people like to fit you in just because they identify you by maybe a couple of videos they see on social media. And I just feel like social media has made that worse because they always are trying to form niches. I don't know. That's just me. I feel like they want people to form these like little communities, but then you're stuck in that box of only doing a certain type of video or only doing a certain type. And then when you are trying to show a different type of, you know, video like yours, where you're a PhD student, but you're also showing lifestyle and you're also showing fashion and stuff like that, people automatically attack and they're like, no.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I'm not drawing, because I don't have a niche. But you know what? We're just doing this for fun.
All for fun. And also the algorithm for everything is just crazy. So
yeah, I don't get the algorithm. So it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Speaking of algorithm, where can everyone find you on social media?
People can find me on TikTok and Instagram. Username is Erha the Explorer, inspired by Dora the Explorer, of course. Yeah. And I have a website too, erhatheexplorer.com, but I only have one post and it's just a very it's a test post. What I hope is to maybe talk about travel tips for PhD students. You know, it'll be easier with ChatGPT. I can just like say, hey, can you write me a travel story for PhD students? Actually, I tried it and it created a really good outline. But anyways.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I was as a joke. It was on Notion. I signed up for Notion AI. And then I made Notion to write me tips on how to travel as a PhD student. And it was legit. Yeah, it's wild. Yeah.
That's crazy. I have not tried it yet, but
yeah,
now I want to try it.
Yeah. Not related, but I have nothing yet in my blog, but stay tuned. We'll be posting stuff.
Awesome. I'll still link it down below. Thanks for joining the podcast today. This was fun.
Of course. Yeah, this was fun. Thanks for having me.
All right, everyone. That is all for the podcast episode today. Thank you so much for listening to this entire episode, if you did. And I will talk to you guys in my next episode.